You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Okay, this is, if you're just joining us this late in the program, this is actually part two of a two-part coverage of the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council's 176th meeting, which was held just a couple weeks back, and some really great information has already been exchanged. There have been a couple of pretty good press releases. You've seen some of the stuff. We did talk about one of the things that happened, which was kind of a bummer, in the very opening day of the meeting. The short set fishery was closed due to reaching the allotted number of loggerhead turtles that were allowed to give a headache. But not killed. They didn't get killed. Anyway, Tom Remington is here. He's a fisheries analyst, and Thomas was there at the meetings and instrumental in a few months ago, giving us a heads up on what we needed to compile and present. And now that that part's over, and we talked last week a little bit about Kona crab and some other stuff, we did mention a little bit about what happens. It's kind of like a funeral, isn't it? When that short set loggerhead turtle quota is met, it's like it's over. How quickly does it shut down?
Oh, immediately. So yeah. the fishers, they get notified. You know, even if they're just heading out, they got to come back.
Yeah.
Whatever they've invested in that fishery or that trip, and they haven't recouped, right, is lost. You know, and then you know they've got to sit at dock.
Yeah.
At the dock, unless they change their gear types and go out for something else.
Now that being said, most people are listening to this, as you know, we're in the first weekend of April, and that means virtually that we have to wait a long time to go catch swordfish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's just goes to show, like, so early on in the season, hitting that level of loggerheads, especially when none of them were hurt, it kind of raises just raises some questions, especially when the loggerhead threshold used to be higher.
Yeah, and by the way, one of the other things that was said is that when that happens sometimes, the fish are not even ready to be caught in the beginning of the season. And all of a sudden, in the heart of the season, where you can catch the most, you can't catch
any. Yeah, when they're running the most, you know, sometimes later on, in June or so, the boats won't even be out there to catch. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, that's and I don't want to say that was a bummer of the meeting, but it kind of was in some respects. There were also some other good things and bad things based on some of the science that was shared. Like what?
Oh, there's plenty of new science shared. There's a lot of talk about this thing called MPAs. I don't know if your listeners are aware. They're called
Marine Protected Areas.
Yep.
Right. Yep.
So there's been a lot of good science and a lot of questionable science in Marine Protected Areas. There have been shown that there's some positives when used, like, really, really close to shore for coral reefs and, you know, coastal shelves and things like that. But there's been this new trend to sort of block off portions of the open ocean.
And are these done at all levels in the area? I know here in the main islands, it's the most.
Right. So all levels. So even now, there's an ongoing UN intergovernmental conference, an international conference going on, talking about biodiversity beyond national jurisdiction, and that's talking about whether there should be closures on the high seas, for instance.
Yep.
And that means that, you know, the longliners that are out fishing pelagics on the high seas, whether they'd be subject to certain closures that an international body has they're calling the shots, and not necessarily the federal bodies or the managers back home.
And on that, gang, remember that, you know, when something happens, when you talk about managing these things, livelihoods depend on it. And so that, therefore, you know, getting behind the way that this stuff is created, for instance, just changing, going back a little bit, you said on the inshore fishery, or somewhat inshore, a lot of the BRFAs for the main islands have been released, but not enough. The fishermen are saying, hey, if we're going to open one or three, open them all.
Right. So we opened four of the 12. Yeah. And I think the rationale behind that, and I can't speak for or against this, is that they're having a test run to see, you know, if we open these and we continue to see that the bottom of your stock is healthy, then why not open?
How is that assessment taken rather than some of the others?
In terms of the new bottom fish assessment?
Yeah.
So the new bottom fish, I mean, it's great news. I it's hard for me to say how, you know, the public at large is accepting it. I would hope that they're excited that the bottom fish assessment's pointing upwards.
Open up a little bit, sure.
I'm saying that they're not being overfished. There's no overfishing occurring. Mm-hmm. And just kind of reinstilling confidence that the bottom fish fishery is, you know, can be a source of fish.
And that was a major concern to the bottom fishermen. And a lot of them were, fighting tooth and nail about this. It didn't work. But now they're saying, all right, well, if we're going to open a few, how much more studying is it going to take before we open the rest of them? Because isn't it true that it's unfortunate to know that we don't know how these fish move around as much as some other species?
Right.
But we do know that if you have a Bertha and it's full of fish, those fish may not be even from there. They might be just from somewhere else where it's open, but you can't catch them.
It's very true. Yeah. So they might be migrating into a safe zone like that, like you're saying.
Okay, so good time was had by all that. What are some of the other things that mattered as the meeting wore on?
There was just a lot of discussion about potential legislation. There's talk of legislation that would crack down on the selling of shark fins,
mm-hmm.
but in doing so, it would kind of crack down on the catching and selling of whole sharks as well.
Yeah, and we got to point that out because many of you remember this story in the news a while back where a foreign vessel had to come in for emergency repairs and it was loaded with shark stuff. And a lot of them tried to get on, put them in knapsacks and put them on a plane to go home. I don't think, Thomas, that people here in the Main Islands know how much that's worth.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that contraband is, it's, I guess, like, who knows, maybe.
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, but I mean,
there's a reason they keep going for
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And you see all those fins. Anyway, that being said, what are some of the conclusions that you think got made?
There's no real conclusions coming from that, I would say, but just in terms of the council being aware of it and putting its resources towards ensuring that if there is anything that comes out of this, that it's based on science, that it's consistent with the Magnuson-Stevens that allows the landing of whole sharks.
But I should have rephrased it. What I meant is when they're compiling the list of the proposed MPAs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, MPAs,
I want to make sure that people understood that it maybe is not a random selection. Maybe they're going to say this because a specific area has been impacted, so we have to close
right.
it. But is there any indication of the time limit? Are we talking about MPAs permanent? Are we talking about...
There's all different flavors of MPAs, right? Yeah. So there's some that are... closed permanently, right? Yeah, and those are the some of the purists. They love those. All the environmentals. They love permanently closed areas because that's just pristine for them.
This is primarily the Papahānaumokuakea because it's looked as this big science farm or whatever.
No take forevermore. But then there's ones that are time based. It'll be closed or I guess the swordfish fishery is a good example of that.
Yeah.
So it's closed for now the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, it's not going to be closed forever. Now, that's not a spatial one, but it's just it's an example. So if we had an area and we closed it down to fishing once we hit a limit, that would be an example of like a time-based one. There's some that have rotating closures that are closed every other week or month or stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different flavors when it comes to these things.
The thing that was really funny when I remember doing it in the very beginning, when they first started in the 70s, closing off Waikiki every other year.
Oh, yeah.
It was... a good idea, but they didn't realize the resourcefulness of the fishermen.
Mm.
So the day one of the next year, the fishermen's stock was already decimated.
They were, sandbagging and waiting.
Therein lies the concern that what did we really accomplish? And what you accomplish is instead of wiping out the fish, you almost wipe them out.
Right, and it kind of gives insight that you need to be working with the fishermen, as opposed to just kind of lording over them and saying, "Don't take now."
Yeah.
Working with them so that they understand the numbers and saying, if we're doing this, it's because of this, and it's because of the good data that you gave to us, and it becomes a symbiotic relationship.
Boy, I don't know if you had the opportunity during the meetings, by the way, and what's happening in the meetings. If you didn't know, this was the 176th meeting just concluded. It brings everybody from the far-flung reaches of the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council's arena. And I do know that there's always this misapprehension when they come together. I hope they spend some time on our problems. It's not just the big picture. I seem to get that a little bit more this time. Did you?
Oh, I mean, so people have to realize that we are the regional council for... quote unquote, our problems.
Yeah.
That's what we are tasked to do. So there's regional councils for those other big fisheries that you always hear about and think about in other parts of the country. But we are here for Hawaii. We are here for Guam and, the other U.S. territories.
And you go to wpcouncil.org and you can read through some of these assessments and some of the other things. But one of the questions that always comes up, and that is, as good as the rules are, When they get broken, there has to be enforcement and consequences.
Yes.
And I do know that that was a big part of some of the meetings that were held to identify, okay, we know that this has been mandated, mm-hmm. but nobody's following it up, so we don't know if it's effective.
Right. Yeah. No, it's true. So it's you can put rules in place, but they're only as important as the enforcement that's behind it. And, you know, so then there becomes a whole other discussion on what's appropriate enforcement for what kind of crimes.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of think about the level of the quote-unquote crime or infraction in the fishery versus, you know, the intentionality. Because, you know, if you're coming back to port, you've got a boat full of legal fish and you accidentally strike, you know, act of God, you strike a turtle or something like that. That's not necessarily your fault, you know. So enforcement doesn't go that strict on those kinds of cases.
No, and I think that one of the things came upon that I learned was that looking at others being able to break or ignore a rule and then having to adhere to it to yourself, some of these people, and particularly from far away, they're not going to buy it. So they need to see that it works.
Right. So, it can be hard, especially, you know, being in the U.S., we're used to being pioneers in a lot of different things. And here we're trying to get our fisheries, you know, to a healthy state. And, you know, fisheries management is our tool for doing that. But
some people say, did this come up at all? I do know that the Coast Guard is tasked with more and more assisting. And it is.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since the war on terror started, the Coast Guard's assets are taxed to the max.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So that means that sometimes when a boat might be just going to check out an area for fishing, he's got to go 500 miles to check out an area for cocaine or trafficking or something else.
And that's the nature of our area, right? It's
just
being the largest jurisdiction of fisheries management for us. You know, if we see an infraction, if there's a foreign fishing boat fishing in our EEZ and it gets reported, how many hours is it going to take for a Coast Guard cutter to get down there?
Yeah, if at all. That's
if at
thing,
all.
Yeah.
So that's something to consider as well. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, so was there, in your opinion, some good time spent on reporting of not just surveillance, but observation and prosecution?
Yeah, there was, as usual, at every council meeting, we get reports from the federal offices of enforcement and general counsel and things like that. They report to us, you know, both generally and in detail, the fishery infractions over the past year or the past X amount of months. And, you know, they're very slight, and they have to do with, you know, taking illegal species or, you know, overfishing in some capacity or another, but there's nothing.
Blown away by the data that's shared. I'm blown away by the research that is done.
Absolutely.
Obviously, we want to make sure that if people want to know more, they can go figure this out, because I do know that most of what was discussed ended up, first of all, it was on a schedule on the website.
Right.
And then after the fact, I can't tell you that it's been so much better lately where the materials are being made available, because there's nothing more frustrating than going to wpcouncil.org and not being able to click on what you want.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we put a lot of recent work into, we're revamping the website right now. So the way you love and know it might not be the same forever. It's going to look nice. You can get our press releases, our reports, you know.
So many photos.
Just, the really council's good recommendations. Yeah, if you're interested in fisheries and fisheries management and you want a hand in this, council website's a great place to start. We're getting more involved on Facebook and Twitter. We're trying to, you know, reach out.
And by the way, you can get our previously aired programs of what we're doing. We're hoping to be able to get some of the radio guys that are in the far-flung areas to give input to me so that we can put some of their stuff on, because they've got some really very interesting stories.
Absolutely.
And a lot more of them are human interest stories of interacting, with people being lost on their boat for 9 days and then getting found.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. What's the challenge now that this meeting is done? What's next?
The next, you know, it's tackling all these recommendations. Yeah. So we've got a whole bunch of, issues to tackle going forward. So that we have a whole part of our meeting that's also called program planning, right? And that's talking about these different things, like these potential legislations against sharks and, different MPAs.
Yeah, let's go back on that 1 minute.
Yeah,
let's talk about sharks for a bit. It used to be pretty much the sky's the limit. I don't think that the world really knows. Everybody anticipated that the shark was our enemy. And yet, I don't think that a lot of people, even listening to this program, really understand what a food source it is and what a role it plays in cleanup and sanitation in the oceans.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I mean, sharks are just pivotal in more ways than one.
Yeah.
At the same time, we have to take a full perspective. So something at the meeting that we also saw, the importance of sharks and, you know, in the economy and the fisheries and, you know, attempts to strike that down a bit. But we also saw some of the guys from the Marianas, from Saipan, they're reporting that their vessels are getting more of their bait eaten by sharks, their catch eaten by sharks, and they've been noticing this ramp up in recent years. So we're starting to initiate studies kind of investigating why the fishers in the Marianas have been getting their catch eaten by more and more sharks.
Let me tell you why that's interesting. Even their brains aren't as big as ours, but they need to eat.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they're eating machines. So if there's an area that's stocked with what they eat, why go away? You know, and then if those things, and sometimes they talk about, well, we've got to cull them out. I don't think that that's going to happen ever again.
I don't think that's the solution here. You know, we've tried our hand at kind of artificially meddling with food webs and ecosystems like that, you know, and it hasn't always worked out. So.
Interesting thing too, and I meant to get it this last week. One real quick announcement or question about the Papahanaumokuakea. The apex predator there it's not always a shark.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, now the ulua. Some of these ulua are getting just huge.
Massive.
And absolutely they're wondering if that is upsetting the balance. I mean, monk seals aren't doing well in they're doing better in our islands, in the our main islands, than they are there.
There's a lot larger, you know, higher trophic level species. So that means, like, you know, the bigger species that eat the littler species.
Yeah.
There's a lot, the fish are allowed to get a lot larger up there. And there have been studies, you know, in the past decade that show that, you know, they are relatively larger than what they are around the main Hawaiian Islands, be it due to fishing or lack of predation or whatever. But, yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out in terms of impact.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty
That'll
cool.
That'll be interesting.
So what you're saying, you had a pretty good time?
as you can. No, just excited. Looking forward to continuing management and making sure that these fisheries are, you know, they're doing well and they continue to do so.
Good job. Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate it.
Again. And for those of you that want a little bit more about what's happening, go to wpcouncil.org. That's wpcouncil.org. And if you want to hear something on the program, it's so easy. And as a matter of fact, you can hear the programs on wpcouncil.org. Drop me a line, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. Until then, see you next time. Good fishing.